you might look a little perplexed. What happened to the chairs over here? That's the dancing aisle. So if you want to dance during worship, feel free. You can dance and do your little jig and everything else and roll on out. Just don't knock anybody over. That's okay to raise your hands and dance and lift and shout. Make sure your clothes are buckled up. We don't dance like David. Yes. Amen. How's everybody doing? Good, good. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Today, we just continuing on. 2023 is a year of no limits. Does that mean limits without God? No. We're going to be doing all things with Him. All things. Life without Him is, I've lived that life. I've accomplished many things, but you know what? It didn't fulfill me. Life with God is a whole lot better. Doesn't mean it's going to be easier in the sense of trouble coming your way, but it is a whole lot better. I'd rather go to war with Him than without Him. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalms 91. Most of y'all know this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I'm going to talk a little bit and then we'll go, you know, how I do. Dwells means to remain. It's not a place where we just jump back and forth whenever we get in trouble. All right, devil, you can't get me. I'm going to come over here and then when the enemy starts coming, we got to abide in the shadow. That's not what it means. It's everywhere you go, God is there with you. Everywhere He sends you, He's there with you. You're not doing it on your own. We stay there. We make our home there. The secret place of the Most High is where we hang our hats, so to speak. We live there. Every day we're acknowledging Him. We live there. Before you go out and do anything, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall do what? He will make your path straight, direct your path with every version you've learned at. Lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. You're taking Him along. And when we make our home in the secret place of the Most High, we shall remain unstable. Stable. So how is it that some believers can look like they're stable and fixed and others are hanging on their last thread? It's because they've been abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. They stay there. They make their home there. God, I can't do this without you. This project is coming up. I need your help. Lord, I'm getting ready to preach another message. I need a word from you. I've got family members, Lord, that need saving. What can I? I'm not leaning onto my own understanding. I'm acknowledging Him. We stay there. We shall be firmly established, steady in purpose, secured in all things. And whose power that no foe can withstand. So if God is for us, who can be? Someone not very smart. He might be cunning and crafty, but the enemy is very, very prideful. Someone whose destiny is eternal damnation, who would love nothing more than to stop any believer from his purpose. That's your foe. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the principalities of darkness. The enemy can't touch you if you don't let him. When you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, he can't touch you. Verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my what? Am I? My God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him confidently trust. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is my God. The names that are used for God, the Most High, lets us know that God can lift us above all danger. that comes our way. The Most High. Over all our circumstances, God can lift us above that. Almighty, He's having power over all things. He has power over all things. If you're going to dwell there, being with God is the place to be. He is Lord. Jehovah, the one who made a covenant with His people and promises that will never be broken because He is faithful. And He is my God. My God, the creator of all things. What's your God? Sometimes we make other things our God. Listen, if our job is our source of life, we've made that our God. Never make your resource your source. God is our source. Amen. Your family can't be your God. Although you want to protect your family just like God has protected you, you can't put your family above Him. My God, He is the creator of all. Verse 3 says this, for then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Satan will do anything in order to trip you up. That snare, hunters use it to catch birds. It's a trap. It's a trap that is set for you so that he will trip you up, catch you in every which way. Believers who oppose the truth sometimes end up getting caught in Satan's traps. But if they learn to accept God's correction and come to their senses, they will be able to escape the traps that Satan sets for them. If we're able to accept the correction of His word, not just any correction. So people don't like criticism. I like criticism, but I like valid criticism. There's a difference. Not all criticism is good. Valid criticism, we can roll with. I can work with. It doesn't mean that a trap won't be set for you. They will. You just don't have to fall for it. You, if you're walking in the shadow of the Almighty, you will be able to see those traps come and go. Every single time you sit, and you know that the spirit that person's operating in, that's a trap. Can y'all put some air on the stage? Am I sweating, beating up a little bit? No, it's not because I'm overweight. Why do y'all minds go there? I don't know. People sitting around the table trying to entice you to say something that they can use against you. One of the most dangerous people to be around are those that will take what you say and then tell somebody else something totally different. That's a trap. And you got to learn to see that. The Bible says discretion will preserve you. So there's sometimes I'll say something. Other times I feel like, okay, Lord, help me with my flesh because I just want to knock this person out. And then other times that I'll say something and you know what? They take it for what it is. But I really do sincerely try to listen to the Holy Spirit in those times. When I'm going into something, watch it. There's a trap. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. It's a trap. I don't care what they say behind my back. You get to saying something. There's one time where I said something and I started because everybody was coming at me and then I said something and my lungs didn't really kick in. So it felt like it was like kind of weak. Well, the enemy takes that and makes it, oh, well, he was in fear. No, I wasn't. I wasn't in fear. I don't fear no man. Just my lungs didn't kick in the way it wanted to because I didn't want to project it out. Well, now he's yelling at us. So we're working on that, the inside voice. When you are walking with the Lord, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, He will help you to identify those traps that the enemy may set. Remember, many of the religious leaders of those days, those Pharisees, they tried to catch Jesus in what He was saying. Even David had problems like this in Psalms 140. You go there and we'll come back to verse 4 after that, or verse 3. He says, O Lord, rescue me from evil people. Protect me from those who are violent. Those who plot evil in their hearts and stir up trouble all day long. Their tongues sting like a snake. The venom of a viper drips from their lips. Oh, Lord, keep me out of the hands of the wicked. Protect me from those who are violent, for they are plotting against me. The proud have set a trap to catch me. They have stretched out a net. They have placed traps all along the way. I said to the Lord, you are my God. See, my God. Listen, O Lord, to my cries for mercy. Oh, sovereign Lord, the strong one who rescued me, you protected me on the day of battle. Lord, do not let evil people have their way. Do not let their evil schemes succeed, or they will become proud. Let my enemies be destroyed for the very evil they have planned for me. Let burning coals fall down on their heads. Let them be thrown into the fire or into the watery pits from which they can't escape. Man, David had an info. Don't let liars prosper here in our land, because great disasters to fall on the violent cause. But I know the Lord will help those they persecute. He will give justice to the poor. Surely righteous people are praising your name. The godly will live in your presence. God will always bring justice to those who are oppressed and afflicted. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. You don't have to get nasty with people. You don't have to get upset with people. Our responsibility is to love God and what? Love others. Love people. That's what we're called to do as a church, as his body, those commandments. And here's the thing. We still got to be I'm still a work in progress in that. Love others. I do pretty well. I'm in the 90th percentile. But love others. The battle isn't yours. Jesus already defeated the enemy. Now we walk in that victory every day by faith. For we walk by faith and not by... It's not about what happens to you. The reason why I talk about hoops so much is because I lived it. I knew what the Lord was doing for me through that. The people he has set in my life in every which way. I appreciate it. I love it. And there was a time when I was playing here and... We were playing Shattern State, I mean, they had a good football team. And they would talk mess. The football players would stand on the sidelines and just wouldn't let you take the ball out of bounds. And so, I mean, we played them here, and we whooped them. I mean, our starters whooped them so bad that the bench, I was on coming from the bench, we played more. And we ended up outscoring the starters. And I was bragging about it because I was kind of sticking it to the starters. I said, yeah, we're just as good as them. Oh, the coach didn't like that. He didn't like it, but he didn't tell me that. I think that's the reason why he benched me the next game. I didn't even get the suit up. And it was against a weak team, too, Adams State. We blew them out by 40, 50 points or what have you. But I didn't get the suit up. And I was mad. He told me it was because of my three-point shooting. I think it was because of that interview. But the thing about it is that he kept that open communication. And he says... What's our family motto? I said, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. He goes, that's right. Now, are you going to sit on the bench and pout? I said, no. He goes, you're going to go in there in the gym and shoot and work out? I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. He goes, that's what I want to hear. I said, all right. And so I grabbed Kristen out and we began shooting in the gym. You remember that? She didn't like that at all. But the thing about it is that we can have so many things come against us, but it's not what happens to us. It's how we respond to it. And if we're going to respond with the word of God, Jesus could have been saying, God, Lord, Father, the enemy is coming. He's tempting me. But no, he went to the word. He said, it is written. Every single time that he was tempted, every single time that he went back to the word and he shut it down. When these religious leaders came to him and said these things, Jesus may not have started the fight, but he so did finish it. You don't have to go around looking for fights. They'll come to you. You just make sure you finish it. Then they'll start plotting again. That's all right. You just be ready. You be ready. God will always bring to justice those who afflict and oppress his people. You don't have to get even. You don't have to get even, Stephen. Don't waste your time over that. I'm telling you, it will help you out. It'll just lift that weight off of you. Because when you want to do those things, I was sitting right here in the front row, and y'all remember Andrew Cummings? He had written a song, and I was like, man, this song is pretty nice. I'm going to get to play the drums on it. And then he invited his brother up to play, and I was like, and I was sitting there literally pouting in the spirit, just like, I wanted to play that song. Because we were doing it in rehearsal, like, you know, we have rehearsal at 9, and I was like, playing it, and he was, my brother's going to play it. I was like, all right. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm stewing. I'm like, I'm mad in the spirit. I'm just mad. And the Holy Spirit says, stand up and clap. I didn't do this, but I was like, that's exactly how I was like, there's no way I'm going to stand up and clap. He goes, stand up and clap. And it felt like there was just a ton of weight on me. And as soon as I stood up and clapped, that thing just released. Why? Obedience. God is not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. And the more and more we get upset, we get mad, just, here's the thing, just give it to him. Just be obedient in that time. And I promise you, it'll be the best thing that you ever do. Is listen to God and be obedient to what he's saying. And you may not like the outcome because you wanted this outcome here. But if you're obedient, what you may have tried to do for, it could have took you 5, 10 years. In 1 month, he can do that for you. In 1 week, he can do that for you. In 1 day, he can turn that around. Verse 4, if you can go back to that, please. Then he will cover you with his pinions, his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. A buckler is just a smaller shield. With God's protection, you are insured every day and night. I used to drive with no insurance back in Cali and no license. Imagine going to school doing that. You always looking. All right, let's roll. But once I got my record cleaned up, get insured, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm not concerned with that. Why? Because I'm insured. I can speed all I want. No, I can't. Whew. I can't tell you how many warnings I got. I think they look up my name and then they see a YouTube clip or something like that of me. We'll give them a warning. It says, get some rest. No need for you to be up all night worrying about that thing. Worrying about that situation. Yeah, it may be out of your hands, but it fits firmly in God's hands. If you trust him. Put your trust in. Your biggest fears are nothing compared to God. Media constantly is pumping fear. Constantly. They want to get you around others that try to pump that fear, and it's just fear, fear, and more fear, but you got something greater on the inside of you. You got faith and more faith. And what a great opportunity to use your faith when that fear comes. Anybody can say, well, I have faith. And just walking it and nothing happening and everything goes, amen, it was a great day. Say that when that fear comes. The language shouldn't change. The outcome shouldn't change. As far as fear having its way. God has equipped you for all the fears that may come into your life. We walk by faith. Boldly. Some people don't like when Christians are boldly. They're supposed to be some weak, passive Christians, and you shouldn't say anything. You shouldn't speak on that subject. You shouldn't talk about this. We boldly profess it. Sometimes we don't want our image tarnished. Well, who's our focus on? If Jesus said, hey, I want you to say this. Well, they may not like it. That's okay. Say it anyway. But say it by faith and say it boldly. He'll clean this stuff up. He'll clean all that other stuff up. But you say what he's given you to say. Don't add to it. Don't try to explain it away. If he's given you 5 words to say, say it, walk away. Don't try to explain it, water it down, reason it out in every which way, and it, give it to him and what he's told you. Gender neutral. Come on. I'm saying it and I'm leaving it. We try to do things differently. We try to be quiet about it. The mountain will obey your voice. We speak to it. You know, this is the first time I had golfed in, I think it was an Angel Fire with you, Cody, and Wes and stuff like that. I had no golf etiquette whatsoever. I'm walking right in front of the line, picking up my ball, and they're like, what in the world? Loud as can be, talking during the backswing. You got to learn that. And sometimes you'll learn that the hard way. Moving your cart and it's going beep, 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 beep. Dude, what is up? Well, see, the thing about it is that even when you're just, you could be having a nice day and just relaxing and stuff, and you just hear this some construction going on down the street and that loud truck backing it up. Beep, beep. It's like, okay. They're not ashamed of what they're doing. They're causing a scene. No, it's these big trucks coming to lay some concrete down. They're doing those things for a reason. And we got to be able to speak because we don't want it to bring attention to ourselves. No, they're not thinking, well, somebody might be asleep. They got a job to do. We have a job to do. And it's not to be loud and obnoxious. But it's to be listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what he has called us to do. So we speak his word boldly. You can't be quiet when the media, the news, and the school, when the government are saying something that you don't like. You can't be quiet on that. You speak right back to the television. Verse 5. It says, you say, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. See, the wicked will slander and the wicked will plot. It says you shall not be afraid even when that happens. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid, Lord. If God has taken you some things, apparently there's something that he's trying to get out of you. We can live in our houses every single day and say, I live by faith, I live by faith, I live by faith. But we are never outside exercising our faith. Because there's no fear that's coming our way. We can shut off the TV. We can shut off everything else in every which way. And commune with God, which is good. But there's going to come a time when you're going to have to walk by faith. And when you do, it says, he says, you shall remain stable and fixed. It's easy to say and believe things when everything is going good. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. When you're abiding, when you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty, it says it shall not come near you. But didn't you go through some, it shall not come near me. I don't try to have the word to fit my life and make excuses for it. I got to get in line with the word. I don't change it because of my circumstances. A lot of people will. I won't. If I missed it, I missed it. But I don't think I had COVID. Honestly. That's just a personal thing. I don't think I really did. I had listened to Jimmy Evans, and he was telling me about a guy that was operating in that Jezebel. And it said he felt like it was a 600-pound gorilla sitting on his chest. And he couldn't breathe. I didn't have any other symptoms. That's what it felt like. I was laying down on my front porch, just like out, and let that cold slab hit my back. I was like, what is going on? What was my oxygen when I went back, when I went in? About 65. That was the only thing wrong with me. But I'm here now. And I ain't going nowhere. Till the Lord calls me home. Thank you, Jesus. Social media is saying there'll be more deaths because of the vaccines that was taken. Not today. I'm not saying that and trying to boast about it, but when we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, I don't care if you got a vaccine or not. Here's the thing. It will not come near you. You better start speaking the word over it and trust in what God is saying rather than what the media is saying. You ain't got to panic. Well, I got the shot. I got the shot. Well, you got the word. You got the word. It can change that up in a minute. Weapons may be formed, but it will not prosper. Psalms 121:7 says this, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Going back to verse 8, says, it's only a spectator. Only a spectator shall you be. You're inaccessible. Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. Evil won't be able to have access to you because you are in a secret place. But you will be an eyewitness of the reward that will come to the wicked. They will get theirs. And the way they get theirs is not from you. It's from God. We keep ourselves in love. They will get theirs. Verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Now, how is it that other believers can operate in the gifts, but others can't? Could be rightly dividing the word. Could be they just choose not to believe. Could be they're not abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. God's protection is their relationship with Jesus. It's far more important than the air we breathe. Jesus, I need you. That's more important than anything else. Every single day, I need you. We need him. It doesn't mean that we're not experiencing trouble, but when we've been talking up our God more than our troubles, God wins every time. When I say I have never been defeated, I'm not saying that because I'm saying it within myself. I'm saying it because God is saying it through me. I've never been defeated. He's never been defeated. I'm not God. He's never been defeated. You've never been defeated if you are with God. If you love him, because he works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There's no one like him. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. He's the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Undisputed Champion of the universe. He's on our side. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? You can pump that up, turn that TV up all you want. It still ain't got nothing on God. Unless you go off of what they're saying rather than what he says in his word. What could possibly be more attractive in our lives that we give more attention to than Jesus? It says, no plague or calamity, disastrous event will come near my tent. In verse 11, it says, for he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. In verse 12, it says, they shall bear you up on their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. See, God will assign angels to protect you. Even Satan knows that. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew 4? He had talked about, Satan said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. He will give his angels a command concerning you that you will bear, that he will bear you up in their hands so that you will not any time strike your foot against a stone. Satan knows scripture, but he's twisting it. You're not supposed to throw yourself off a cliff. You're not supposed to drown your children. Well, God told me, just like Abraham. No, he didn't. That was the devil posing as an angel of light. You got to know it. These scriptures aren't for those who are living their lives any kind of way and get out of the shadow of the Almighty anytime they want. When you hang your hats, you are making that place home. When you hang your hats in the shadow of the Almighty, it's like you kicking off your boots. Or your shoes, or your flip-flops, or whatever you wear. Well, I'm always barefooted. Well, put some socks on and kick them off. These angels are ministering spirits sent forth to serve those who will be heirs of salvation. That was in Hebrews 1:14. Can you imagine this when we get there, stand before the Lord? He's going to show you all the times where his angels have helped you and where you didn't even know. Accidents that were avoided. People that you said that you were going to marry didn't marry. And all the times where he was telling us something and we opted out on doing something else. My goodness. Y'all close your eyes when it comes to me. I was playing. There was a time, and I shared this before, but I love this story because it was so, so good in that time of my life. It's like when we were staying those 33rd apartments over there. Is it Sunrise or Sundance? Sunrise, right? Sundance? Okay, we were staying over there for a little bit. And the kids were running around, playing. Kristen wasn't there. And I'm there at the house and just trying to watch them as best as I can. Little old me. I don't know how Kristen does it. The kids were playing. I said, stop playing. Or something's going to happen. Y'all going to fall, hurt your head, whatever, whatever. They stop for a little bit and then they get to playing again and stuff like that. And somebody falling, hit their head. And I was like, see, if you would have just listened to me. Now I'm mad because they should have listened. If you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened. And I hear a voice say, exactly. Who in the world said that? Fast forward a little later, we move into our home that we're in now. Same thing, we're unloading boxes. and stuff, they're playing around. And I say the exact same thing. Hey, stop playing. Or you remember what happened last time, right? Stop playing. So they stop playing and help them with the boxes, and they get to playing again. And then they, I don't know, hit the corner of a wall or something. I said, see, if you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened. Exactly. And I started to think for a minute. I said, wait a minute. Every day for that season, the Lord was waking me up to show me my purpose. And I wasn't getting up. 4:59, 5 o'clock, or 5:01. It was those three times. Every single day. Sometimes I did get up, and it was a great, great morning. But I didn't do it. I didn't get up every single day. And he was trying to show me something. And he was like, you never would have went through that stuff if you would have just listened to me. I got you. Now I listen. Learn my lesson. It's important to listen to the Lord and what he's telling you. It doesn't matter if everybody else is coming against you. You stay listening to the Lord. Make sure it lines up with his word, but you still listen to the Lord. Don't just listen to that voice. Get up and get some Oreos. The devil is a lie. That's the devil. The devil is a lie. Don't you eat those Oreos. And I'm guilty of that, doing it once or twice. Lord, is that you? You calling me from the other room, Lord, like Sammy? Let's get up and see what he wants. Okay. In John 11, says this, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. It's very important for Jesus. He said, I can only do what I see my Father do. I can only say what I hear my Father say. He didn't rush back because Lazarus was sick. And sometimes we'll end up doing that. He says, the works that I do shall you do. And sometimes we need to get this in us and realize, wait a minute. He's the all-powerful. Jesus stayed 2 more days and Lazarus died or fell asleep for the moment. Because he knew what he was getting ready to do. He knows the power he operates in. And miracles will always glorify Jesus. It will glorify God. You don't have to get into a rush just because some people are rushing you. Listen to what the Lord is telling you and go off of what he said and spoken. It doesn't matter how long it's been. What he wants to do through you is going to be greater than what anybody else had ever projected. He says, you shall tread. Verse 13 says, you shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. You mean to tell me we can step over the lion and adder? And the serpent we shall trample? Basically bruise and crush under our feet? Yeah. Pretty much so. But who can do that? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty. Every believer has that, but not every believer dwells. Not every believer believes. You have believing unbelievers, unbelieving believers. If we're called believers for a reason, let's believe the word. Not anything that anybody else throws out there, but let's believe what he says in his word. See, when you come and go as you please in the shadow of the Almighty, there should be a fine print there. Results may vary. It's more of a user error than God. I don't blame God for anything. Negatively, I said, that's user error. If I messed it, Lord, show me where I've erred so we can get it right. As big as God is, how can we ever imagine getting out of his protection? We can do it through this. We can do it through our actions. He wants to protect us. But sometimes we get out of his protection because we might become prideful. Verse 14, he says, but he has set his love upon us. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. Has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trust, and relies on me. I will never forsake him. No, never. If you're living with someone daily, you have personal knowledge of them. You know them. Like, if I ask my wife a question right now, what do I like to do when we drive? What's my favorite thing to do? Sleep, yes. But what do I do when I'm not sleeping? What do I read? Do I read anything? I don't read anything anymore. Oh, she doesn't know me. We got to get to know each other now. We're going to have to spend more time with each other. I used to read a lot of signs. I haven't in a while. Why? Why are you reading signs? I don't know. There's a sign we were going on in Topeka. And there's an exit that's called Fair, F-A-I-R, Road. You may have seen it. And so when we get, and we sat down with Deb and Wes for lunch and stuff because we were heading on to Chicago or, no, Missouri. I just thought that was so funny. I was like, Fair Road, let my people go. She was like, oh, brother. Corniest joke ever, but you know, when you spend time with each other, I know she likes foot rubs. That's why I don't give them. I used to. I got to get back to that. Scratch that out, please. She'll hold me to it. But God will not only have your back, but he'll cover all sides. There won't be an inch that he'll miss. In John 12:26, it says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. He honors them. And in verse 16, he says this, and he shall call upon me. I said, did I skip 15? I said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We just can't say, well, I'm going to live a long time when we're not abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. We're kind of being arrogant on that. What God has for us, yes, we got long life, but if you're living crazy as I don't know what, that ain't going to happen because you're going to reap what you sow. That's going to catch up with you. Well, how do I abide in the shadow of the Almighty? Well, number one, you got to be a believer. You got to accept and receive what Jesus has done for you on that cross. You got to put your faith in him. And understand and getting to know your Heavenly Father is through his word and through prayer. And even through connecting with other believers that actually know him. See, I can, you know, if I wasn't a believer and I heard somebody talking about Jesus and I was like, man, he sounds like a pretty cool dude. Well, I'm going to go around telling everybody about Jesus. Now, I can say a whole lot about Jesus, but do I really know him? No. You got to get down, sit down, and get to know him. Reminding yourself daily, but not just daily, hourly, about who he is and who he says he is. He is the great I am. And your identity is in Jesus. It's not in anything else. I thought my identity was in hoops. It's not in hoops. It's in Jesus. Now, if you're not abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, get there because it's safe. Do you claim him to be your God? Do you claim him to be the Almighty in your life? Or are you just relying on your own talents and abilities? It's the most important decision you're ever going to make. On whether or not you want to abide in the shadow of the secret place. Abide, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The one who can lift you up out of danger. Stand up and clap. Oh, I didn't really mean that. No. No, that's not what I meant. I was going back to what he told me. No, I didn't say clap for me. Well, how self-centered am I to say that? Good night. That was it. Sit down at home. Don't clap for me. God doesn't need any applauses. That's good, though. Yes, you were. You were spot on. You did exactly what I said, but I didn't say Simon Says. If I didn't, I would have been stewing in that. I would have missed something if I wasn't obedient. And it could just be the smallest thing. But again, if you're carrying around some weight, that is just things that are just bearing down on you. Get to that place and ask the Lord, where am I missing it? Where am I missing you? Why is this on me? Why am I carrying this? Because we're not meant to cast your cares upon him. For he cares for you. And allow him to just lift that thing off of you. He wants you to, just floating free. I feel like you'll be walking on air. Man, this feels great. Why do I got so much tension right there built up? You're carrying something you shouldn't be carrying. And I think we all do that because we don't want to bother God with our little problems. But he wants you to bother him. Not to bring, to exalt that problem over him, but to know that that problem ain't got nothing on you, Lord. All right, now stand up. Don't clap. God wants the praise. Pastor Tim don't want the praise. We give him the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Whatever people are going through right now, Lord, you know what they're going through. As they put their trust in you, we just begin to lift that off of them right now in the name of Jesus. That spirit of confusion lifted right off. Doubt, unbelief. We speak against it. We come against that in the name of Jesus. You are our protector, Lord. You are our shield and our buckler. And Lord, we exalt you. Not just today, but every day of our lives. And we just give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, for those of you who don't know, we're not going to have Wednesday night service. But what I want you to do, just to kind of simplify things, go and tell somebody about Jesus. Sit down. Have lunch with them. Invite them out to lunch. Share Jesus with them. Our next Wednesday night service will be February 15th as we come back. So I expect to see everybody here. February 15th. And we're going to have a live service. Give you an encouraging word. A powerful word. And I'm going to even see if I can get it, not do it on the iPad. I got to start stepping out a whole lot more. Because I feel them pushing me. You know, it's hard to move somebody when they don't take a step. But when you take a step, God can push you into the right direction. Give you a nice little nudge. I remember I was doing everything I can not to participate in this church. And then my wife, my loving wife, tells Marietta, he knows how to play drums. Babe, I've been trying to keep that quiet. But if I never would have got that, I wouldn't be up here. If I wouldn't be up here. So sometimes she might be right. Love you. Well, God bless you. Shake somebody's hand before you leave. And invite them out to lunch. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.